Leader of the Islamic Revolution says the demise of Hujjatul Islam Mujtaba Mousavi Lahri is a great loss. Iranian clerics slam international silence over Shiite killings in Pakistan. Pakistan Shia leader warns Muslims against enemies' plots, appreciates sympathy of Iran over Shia killings. Iran's energy stock exchange becomes operational. And Iran, Iraq, and Syria sign agreement on transferring Iranian oil to Europe. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with me, Nima Chitsaz. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, issued a message condoling the demise of the great Iranian scholar Hujjatul Islam Mujtaba Mousavi Lahri. In his message, Ayatollah Khamenei described Hujjatul Islam Mujtaba Mousavi Lahri as a wise scholar and great author, saying, "The news of his death has gave him great sorrow and concern." Sayyid Mujtaba Mousavi Lahri passed away on Saturday at Imam Reza Hospital in Lahr in southern Iran. His funeral is expected to take place in the Lahristan town of Fars province in Iran. Iranian clerics and seminary students have strongly condemned international community silence over the massacre of the Shia Muslims and terrorist attacks in Pakistan. In a statement, Chairman of the Assembly of Experts, Ayatollah Mohammad Reza Mahdavi Kani, severely criticized the silence of international organizations over the massacre of Pakistani Shia Muslims. The senior cleric also called on religious scholars and students to gather to vociferate their resentment against such brutal acts of terrorism. In protest to the massacre of Pakistani Shias by foreign-backed terrorists, all seminaries in the cities of Tehran and Qom were closed on Saturday, with teachers and students taking to the streets to voice their protest to the silence of international organizations. They also chanted the slogan in support of innocent Pakistani Shias while condemning the U.S. and Zionist regime for being behind anti-Shiite terrorist attacks in Pakistan. The protest came after a bombing in the Pakistani port city of Karachi on March 3 that killed over 45 Shia Muslims and injured 150 others. Women and children were among those killed and injured. Meantime, the leader of the Pakistani Shias has appreciated the sympathy of Iran's leader of Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, clerics, and scholars of Qom Seminary with the families of martyrs of Pakistan's recent attacks against the Shia communities. In a message issued on Saturday, Allama Sayyid Sajid al-Naghavi also appreciated the protest gatherings organized by Iranian seminaries against the recent criminal acts. Ali Naghavi said, "The regional and international criminals, terrorists, and their supporters should know that such evil plots cannot create religious division among Muslims." He added that the leaders of Shia communities will never enter West's divisive game. Iranian Energy Stock Exchange, which is the fourth stock market of the country, officially became operational on Saturday. In this newly inaugurated market, electricity, coal, and tar will be distributed. Officials say all brokers with certificate for exchange in the Securities and Exchange Organization will be able to deal in energy carriers. The inauguration ceremony was held in the presence of Ministers of Economy and Energy, Head of Securities and Exchange Organization, MISLES members, and top monetary officials. The Islamic Republic of Iran, Iraq, and Syria have signed $10 billion worth agreement to transfer Iranian oil to some countries in Europe. According to the agreement, 110 million cubic meters per day of Iranian oil will be delivered to European customers by Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and Jordan. Political experts called the agreement a huge step, saying it can make the Middle East region more secure for investment in different sectors. The Secretary General of Iran's High Council for Human Rights says the UN Special Rapporteur on the situation of human rights in Iran is bribed by the U.S. to write reports accusing Iran of human rights violations. Larijani said the money that Ahmed Shaheed has received from the U.S. has prevented him from writing anything contrary to their wishes. Lottie Johnny, out of that, Shahed's latest report, which was issued in February and is to be presented to the UN on March 11, is meant to influence Iran's June 14 presidential election. Iran has repeatedly dismissed the report as unsubstantiated, biased, and a repetition of the Western allegations against Tehran. Iran says it believes the report seriously undermines the UN system of human rights protection and lacks legal credibility. A large number of Iranian tourism companies are taking part in the world's biggest travel and tourism fair in the German capital city of Berlin. The five-day event offers a complete overview of all products linked to either holiday or business travel. Topics such as environmental and socially responsible tourism, along with the city travel, are among the themes of this year's tourism fair in the German capital city. A total of 10,086 travel groups from 188 nations have registered to take part at the world's biggest travel trade fair, spread across 26 pavilions. Iran has always striven to promote its tourism industry. The country hosted the 6th International Middle East Tourism Marketing Expo, the largest tourism event in the region, in the southwestern city of Shiraz in late 2009. And here is another look at tonight's top stories. Leader of the Islamic Revolution says demise of Hojatullah Islam Mojtaba Mousavi Lari is a great loss. Iranian clerics slam international silence over Shia killings in Pakistan. Pakistan's Shia leader warns Muslims against enemies' plots, appreciates sympathy of Iran over Shia killings. Iran's energy stock exchange becomes operational. And Iran, Iraq, and Syria sign agreement on transferring Iranian oil to Europe. After civil servants protest in Greece, now soldiers are protesting against government over cuts to their salaries. A correspondent in Athens has a scoop.
Soldiers in active duty and retired men in uniform took to the streets on Saturday afternoon, raising their voice against protracted austerity and consecutive wage and salary cuts imposed upon them over the past years. Aside from their deteriorating living conditions, soldiers also claimed their right to a fair and just remuneration scheme, as well as their right to syndicate freely. Many retired soldiers express their utter frustration at the policy of the government that, as they say, is leading them to despair. The Joint Chiefs of Staff previously delivered a directive whereby it would be illegal to protest in uniform, yet many platoon and special forces personnel decided to fearlessly show their discontent in an organized and peaceful way, wearing their uniforms. The unparalleled protest gathered thousands and thousands of people to central Athens. After a next round of meetings with political leaders from all parties, the joint direction of military protesters will decide upon ways to continue their demonstrations. They underlined that their retirements have suffered double cuts, thus leading them to take legal action at the first level. As a result, the Greek courts have already ruled out the cuts stipulated in the third memorandum of understanding are illegal and unconstitutional. In the meanwhile, Finance Minister Yanis Tournaras is due to meet with Troika representatives on Sunday afternoon in a bid to resolve crucial pending issues. The Troika keeps adding pressure on the government to push for the mobility scheme for public sector workers, including layoffs of 7,000 civil servants who have broken the code of conduct or have used forged qualifications to get their jobs, to be immediately sacked. The negotiations are expected to be long and difficult, with topics of further disagreement including the bank recapitalization program, privatizations, and tax evasion. For the first time in the history of modern Greece, soldiers in active duty, as well as retired men in uniform, raised their voice and joined their forces against the protracted austerity imposed by the Greek government and the Troika of international creditors comprised of the EU, the ECB, and the IMF. Men in uniform say that in the past years, their salaries have suffered a considerable trimming, and as they plan, the next big rally is scheduled to take place next week in the second biggest city of the country, Thessaloniki. Lucas Romanos, Shabaki Khabar, Athens.
At least 9 people, including 8 children, have been killed in a bomb attack in Afghanistan's eastern province of Khost on Saturday. The attack came only half an hour after another suicide bomber on a bicycle struck outside the Afghan Defense Ministry in Kabul, killing 9 people. Taliban claimed responsibility for an explosion outside the Defense Ministry in Kabul, which left nearly 10 civilians dead and several others wounded. The violence comes as new U.S. Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel is on his first visit to Afghanistan as a Pentagon chief. At least 18 people were killed in these two attacks.
A convoy of U.S. soldiers was passing through this area. The bomber blew himself up among the villagers. As a result of it, 8 children aged between 10 to 18 years were martyred, 2 others were wounded, and a policeman was also killed.
A bomb exploded in a mosque in northwest Pakistan on Saturday, killing at least 4 people and wounding more than 25 others. A senior police officer said the bomb was planted in a bookshelf inside a mosque in the city of Peshawar. He said the remote control bomb was detonated when noon prayers started in the mosque. Meantime, Pakistani people as well as Muslims said the recent terrorist killings are being instigated by foreign forces to foment sectarian strife among Muslims. They have staged a rally in the capital, Islamabad, to express their outrage at the growing violence against Shias in the country. The demonstrators called on the government to take decisive action against the forces involved in the targeted killings. An 8-year-old boy was killed in the ongoing clashes in central Cairo, raising the total dead in the violence to 3. The protesters were reportedly killed during clashes between riot police and demonstrators near 2 5-star hotels and the American-British embassies. The deaths come after violent clashes increased following the acquittal of 7 police officers for their role in a February 2012 football stadium massacre that killed at least 74 people in Port Said. Another 21 fans had their death sentences from July confirmed, which led to widespread unrest from football fans who claim the government is attempting to protect security officials from responsibility. The number of injured also differs, with a majority of sources reporting about 15 to 65 people. A court in Saudi Arabia has ordered the dissolution of a human rights group and handed heavy jail sentences to 2 of the group's members. Riyadh Criminal Court dissolved the Saudi Association of Civil and Political Rights on Saturday, with a judge saying the group had failed to obtain authorization. The court upheld a 6-year jail sentence and increased the sentence by 5 more years for Abdullah Al-Hamed and a 10-year jail with a 10-year travel ban for Mohammed Ghatani. The 2 men were convicted of breaching the kingdom's cybercrime law by using Twitter to lash out at the country's political system and social life. The court also ordered the seizure of the group's assets and gave the 2 activists 30 days to appeal the verdict. Now reports say the United States has coordinated the shipment of thousands of tons of weapons from Croatia to the militants in Syria with assistance from Britain and other European countries. The Croatian newspaper Jutarnji List claimed that 3,000 tons of weapons have been airlifted from Zagreb airport and 75 plane loads to the militants through Jordan since November. Previous reports had said the weapons dated back to the former Yugoslavia, but the newspaper revealed that they also came from several other European countries, including Britain. The weapons include rocket launchers, recoilless guns, and the M79 anti-tank weapons. A spokesman for the British Foreign Office rejected the report, saying London has not supplied weapons to the Syrian opposition. And finally, South Korea has warned that North Korea will perish from Earth if Pyongyang goes ahead with its threats to attack the South. The remark was made by South Korean Defense Ministry spokesman Kim Min-suk, saying that Pyongyang's threats to launch nuclear strikes against the U.S. and the South would only lead to the collapse of its leadership. On Thursday, Pyongyang threatened to launch preemptive nuclear strikes on the U.S. to defend itself in the event that Washington ignited a nuclear war. North Korea also said a second Korean War would be unavoidable If the U.S. and South Korea refuse Pyongyang's calls to cancel their large-scale joint military exercise scheduled to kick off next week. The threats came as the U.N. Security Council approved the new series of sanctions to punish North Korea for its February 12 nuclear test. The sanctions targeted the country's economy and leadership. Former Venezuelan Vice President Nicolas Maduro has taken the oath of office as interim president after the Latin American country honored the late President Hugo Chavez. The swearing-in ceremony was led by National Assembly Speaker Deusdedo Cabello on Friday in Caracas. Both Maduro and Cabello pledged to push ahead with Chavez's socialist-inspired agenda. Before Maduro's inauguration, over 30 world leaders, including Iran's president Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, pay their respects to Chavez at a high-profile funeral. Chavez died on Tuesday at 58 after a two-year battle with cancer. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of Live Ryan in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.